Welcome to another episode of Oversaturated, the podcast, where we discuss music, movies, and pop culture. I'm Johnny.
And I'm Ralph.
Welcome to episode 49.
49. I got two Glocks, 141.9. If I raise them both, they'll stop you midlife bars.
Talk about it. That was hard.
I know. I'm trying to battle rap. My girl won't let me, though.
Word?
Man, hey, look. You know, I got...
Hey. Listen.
If anything, I got performance.
I need to be on the stage behind you just like...
I'm like, I got... Gun bust. Right. But it's so funny, y'all know I'm not about that. Like, I'll be up there rapping about guns.
And I'm not about it either, but I'll be right behind you, like, with my hat like Jay-Z, like, over my eyes, with the hood on.
You gotta grab my shirt every time I get up, you know, talk to him.
I hate those people. That do that shit. I hate it so much.
How do we get here?
New listeners, please follow us on all social media. Facebook, search Oversaturated the Podcast. Twitter is Oversat Podcast. Instagram is Oversat the Podcast. And our email is oversatpodcast@gmail.com. And please check out our website, oversatthepod.com. Merch for sale, bios on me and Ralph, videos, links to all previous episodes. Holidays.
Big facts. And if you want to follow us individually on social media platforms, I am The Mind of Ralph on Instagram and Twitter.
On Twitter, I'm JON2 the letter B. Instagram, I'm JBS_ESL_AAMU. I'm actually thinking about changing. I'm thinking about it.
Man, you got to do it, man. It's for you. You the culture now. You part of, man, hey, man, you are a media figure.
All I said was I'm thinking about it. I'm not saying I'm going to. If I do, it's going to be a while. I've had them forever. So.
Hey, before we get into the five-star ratings and reviews, let's introduce our guests before we get too far into it, right?
Yes. Okay. So today we have joining with us, I call her my sensei. She is a meditation guru here in the St. Louis area who provides meditation services for those who are willing to take the path. Today we have my sensei, Corman Reed, joining us.
Hey.
Say hello to the people.
Hello, people.
Yes, that is her.
Right.
She's going to be joining in on our conversations that we have on our hot topics, and we will be talking to her later on about her journey in meditation and getting into a little bit of my journey in meditation as well.
Right, and her DMs are closed, fellas. But five-star ratings and reviews on Apple Podcasts. Salute to anybody that listens to us on any major streaming platforms, but five-star ratings and reviews are what Apple Podcasts provide. We're actually up to 50 now, so salute to anybody that has left a five-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts. If you like our content, please subscribe. Please make sure that you leave a rating and review. We just prefer five stars. That's what we strive for. Also, special shout out to MJ2K14. That is our latest five-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts.
Shout out to you, man.
Right. But are we going straight to Off the Dome?
Off the Dome.
Off the Dome. Now, usually when you are a fan of something, you kind of immerse yourself into it, right? So if you're a fan of, let's say I'm a Jay-Z fan, if I wanted to put somebody on Jay-Z, I'd tell them to go listen to Blueprint. If I am a Denzel Washington fan, and I would tell them, hey, if you need one movie to watch for Denzel Washington, it'd probably be between Malcolm X and American Gangster for me. So if you could do that for any person, actor, actress, rapper, singer, whatever, what would you, use that as your introduction to somebody else?
Huh. That's a great question. Damn, we just came up with this shit, too.
Yeah, I know. I just did it.
Oh, damn. The first person that popped in my head was Will Smith, but I'm not going with Will Smith. I'm gonna go with Twista.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Twista Kamikaze, his album Kamikaze.
Okay. Oh, Adrenaline Rush?
Yeah.
And I'm talking to the Twista fan. That's my ass. Okay.
Well... No, Adrenaline Rush, the song itself, of course, fire.
Okay.
But
to me, as a
complete album, you get everything Twista has done in his career on that album.
Okay.
You get the real shit, you get the super fast shit, you get the ratchet shit, like you get all of it.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, I'm going to go Twista Kamikaze.
Okay.
I'm definitely going to go with Denzel Washington.
Oh, okay. Now, what movie would you
do? That's hard.
Okay.
Because that's like, you know, my adopted dad. No, the reason why is because he puts so much emotion into everything he do. So yes. For you to be a chameleon and no matter what you touch is gold. And it's interesting because a lot of things that he's played in, of course, he's portrayed as a cop. But even though he's been a cop, it's a different type of cop. It's a different angle, yeah. You know. So when I'm watching something that he's in, I don't see another character that he's played. And I can respect that.
Yeah. But I mean, I love Malcolm X for what it stood for. It's like one of the most, as a matter of fact, it's one of the best movies of all time. Mm-hmm. It's up there with like The Godfather and stuff like that. But I'm always tell people to go watch American Gangster. Like, I'm always going to tell people to watch that movie. I okay. love
so
that movie.
So, let's spin this a little bit.
Okay.
So, out of everything Denzel Washington has been in, what is something that he did not have to act as, you know? So, in Malcolm X, he was somebody. In American Gangster, he was somebody. Yeah. In Training Day, he played somebody. So, what's one of the movies where he did not have an example that it just stood out for you?
He didn't have to do Out of Time with Eva Mendez and Sanaa Lathan.
Oh, he didn't have to do The Equalizer. I love that movie.
Interesting.
But
interesting.
Okay. Like, come on, man. Say the little white girl. Like, you have to, like, bro. Come on. That's literally all the... I haven't seen the second one. That's all the first one was about. Say the little white girl. Some random white girl he met at a cafe. Like...
That's
unnecessary
though. Like, it's like people have, they are so great. Sometimes it's kind of like,
yeah,
you didn't have to do that.
Right.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Has he ever played a comedy role? I feel like that's the only type of role he hasn't played in.
No, he's never played like a straight comic role.
Yeah.
He has an element of being funny, mm-hmm. but it's not, yeah. ha 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 ha.
Right. So.
That was good.
That's what I'm talking about.
I like
that.
I like. See, that's what happened when you have guests.
No, that's what I'm saying. All right, so I'm gonna get to mine. So this is actually taken from Twitter. The handle is Six Brown Chicks. I don't know if anybody follows them, but every Wednesday they have people submit them these crazy ass scenarios,
okay.
and have people on Twitter react to them. Oh, so gosh. One that I read is actually interesting, so I wanted to get Ralph's thoughts on it, but because we have a lady in the building as well, I want to get her thoughts on it too. Oh, so I'm just going to read the tweet, and this is what it says. It says, I was feeling vulnerable about fatherhood because my girl, dating 2 years, is 8 months pregnant. I told her I was feeling depressed about that. She crossed the room, punched me in my chest, and told me to man up. He says, WTF is wrong with this violent beast. What to do? So.
Oh, you might want to start. I got some stuff to say.
Okay.
Which is why I brought it. Because I knew it. I knew you would.
That's an interesting scenario, and I'm glad you brought it up. I think I'm speaking for myself. I won't speak for Johnny. I won't speak for any other man. If I were getting, you know, if my girlfriend was pregnant and I was getting ready to be a father, my insecurities as a man and what my dad did not or did do for me would come up. And those are the emotions that people would, you know, that I would play on. But at this moment and at this, you know, this point in my life, I'm okay and I'm comfortable. I'm not sure how old that person was when they submitted that. Mm-hmm. You know, they can be young, they can be 18 or whatever. But sometimes it's just a maturity thing. You can be 30, 40, like get ready to have a kid, and you can be insecure or not ready, quote unquote, for it. But his woman not necessarily being the best, like I don't rock with that. Because being a man, you know, the definition of it is like, you know, this masculine person that, you know, doesn't know, you know, that, you know, doesn't show emotion.
Right.
But the moment I'm vulnerable with my woman and she, you know, tells me to man up, this is something that affects the both of us. I mean, I understand, you know, I want to be a man. I want to be here for my family. But listen, I'm going through a whirlwind of stuff, and I'm telling you this. Mm-hmm. If you can't get that, that's a problem.
Right.
But I get where the woman is coming from. He said she was 8 months, right? She ain't trying to hear that shit, probably. She ain't trying. Yeah, like, don't tell me, like, hey.
A month before the baby here,
you talking about, man, like, hey, you better fix that shit. The baby's damn near here, so. That's what my thoughts on it is.
Yeah, that last part was a good point. Was a great point.
Like, you have to think about her emotions. Probably ain't trying to hear none of that.
Right. I mean, so when I first read it, my initial thought was all I've been seeing over the past year or so, whatever, or hearing people talk about is how about how men, specifically black men, aren't emotionally available or emotionally open with the women that they're with.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first thing I went to.
Yeah.
So it's like now that a person has actually said that or been emotionally open about his feelings toward being a father. Now, we don't know where these feelings came from, not at all. I mean, I don't know. I don't know this guy. But here he is being emotionally, I guess, available to his woman. And all the comments that I saw from men and women was, yeah, he needs the man to fuck up. That's all I saw. But, like, how can we not, do these people not want this man to address why he's feeling depressed? Because that's going to bring the baby into an environment that's not great.
Mm-hmm.
That was my initial thought. Mm-hmm. Now, the lady, on the other hand, she is 8 months pregnant. She's about to have the baby in 4 weeks or less. Like, yeah, she ain't really trying to hear that. She has her own emotions she's going through.
Facts.
I'm a man. I can never get pregnant. Clearly, I don't know how a woman feels in that situation. Mm-hmm. So I can only imagine the type of shit she was feeling or going through, both physically and emotionally.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's really where I'm at with it.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys bring up some good points. Like, my daughter is one, so I just went through that.
Yeah.
And yeah, when you're 8 months pregnant, you have a lot of stuff going through your mind. Your body is going through changes. I mean, heck, you're scared because you don't know what's about to happen. I don't know if that was her first child or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But coming from a man's perspective, even as a parent, you're never ready. Even once that child get here, you know, you will always have some moments of vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
So I know from my situation, it's like, wow, I'm bringing into this child and financially and emotionally, spiritually, you know, like, am I ready? Am I okay? So it's a lot. Now, as far as the hit in the chest, I don't know the situation that occurred before. You know, I don't know how the whirlwind of the relationship may have been. So I can never say if that was right or wrong. Well, I mean, it was wrong for hitting them, of course. But at the end of the day, you never know what a person is going through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a lot. It is. It's a lot of pressure on women, but it's a lot of pressure on you guys because you already feel like you have to be the protector and the provider, and you don't want to let her or your child down.
I'm so glad you said that because I think that's lost in translation a lot. Like,
yeah.
Nobody is, well, at least I'll speak for myself, I never downplay what a woman goes through to give birth. Never.
Yeah.
Because, shit, it's a magical thing.
Yeah.
But men do go through things as well.
Yeah.
Like,
especially if you're really, this is not a baby mama, baby daddy situation. I'm assuming if you're really in tune with your partner,
yes,
you really go through the changes with them. Maybe
right.
Not physically, but yes, definitely emotionally,
yeah,
the spiritual stuff.
Yes.
Like, y'all probably don't have, you know, let's put it out there. You probably don't have sex that much. Carmen don't answer. But it's just, it's serious because, like, those are the things that, like, I would say we go through together.
Yeah.
You're carrying the child, I understand. But I'm here with you.
Yeah, like, I'm here for your support.
Yeah.
But, again, this stuff will weigh on me as well.
Gotcha.
That's all.
And it's okay. That's another thing. It is okay to be scared. It is okay to be vulnerable. Like, it is okay to feel those feelings. Like, you're going to continue to feel those feelings. Because as a man, if you have a daughter, you're thinking about, man, I don't want nobody to hurt you. I don't want anything to happen to you.
Right.
In the past 5-6 years, look at everything that's been in the news. So it makes you scared.
Yeah.
You know, as a man and having a son growing up into this world, you have a right, you have a reason, you know, to be vulnerable.
Right.
Yeah.
Damn, this was mature as.
I know, man. You come topic. With this deep question. Hey,
man, listen. Look, it's. I don't know, man. Because Carmen is here, I definitely wanted to get her thoughts on it. But it's. I don't know, man. I feel like us in the black community, like, as far as men's emotions and things like that, I feel like we got to do better. I personally feel that way.
Facts.
And especially being on a journey that Ralph has talked about going mm-hmm. to therapy and things like that. Like, and even our boy Flo, I know we mention him a lot.
Yeah.
Because he's been really open with it as well on his podcast talking about it. So, yeah, man, we're just trying to get it out there, man.
Yeah. Your mental health is definitely something that you should take care of. And Carmen will definitely get into meditation and how that definitely aids in that as well later. But yes. Let's transition.
Yeah, man. Let's get to something a little bit more fun here. I wanted to talk about the Grammy recap the Grammys a little. First of all, let me just say J-Rock, my man's J-Rock won a Grammy. Best rap performance, if I'm not mistaken, for King's Dead.
Okay.
So yeah, we out here, which also means that Future is a Grammy. Future is a Grammy Award winning artist now. Like, that's crazy. That's nuts.
Future Hendrix.
So. You know who he won a Grammy before? Nicki Minaj.
The pity.
That's funny. But I just had to shout out J-Rock, man. Because that was my number one album of 2018. So,
yeah,
definitely happy for him. But let's get to Cardi, man.
Man, Barty gang, man. Let's talk about it,
Listen,
man.
Listen, I posted my ode to Cardi winning her rap album Grammy.
Johnny don't even post them type of videos.
I sure don't,
you know,
but
excited.
Listen.
That's
hey,
how you know.
Get up 10 is still the hardest intro of 2018. Still the hardest intro. But I'm so happy for her.
Yeah. It's like we pretty much chronicled her whole career on this podcast. We talked about how, you know, maybe that 15th minute was coming up. But like, ooh, we was like, "Ooh, we don't see it," because it was only Bodak Yellow. But then again, she's proved us wrong, mm-hmm. and in turn made us legit fans of her. Anything Cardi's doing, well, as far as the music, I ain't really into the whole Offset shit. Like, you know,
this is strictly music. Strictly music.
But I champion her. What she represents, like, you know, true, rash to riches type of thing.
Amen.
Self made, like, you know, for real.
It's you, like, you can't hate on her rise. You can't. Like, there's no way. Like, you can not like the music. If you don't like the music, that's fine. People don't like music every day.
But you have to enjoy the story.
Yeah, like, this is nuts. She's only been rapping for 2 years.
Yeah.
2 years. And now she's a Grammy award-winning artist.
And, you know, this is the struggle that most black people have with the Grammys. We go back and forth on if the Grammys have a good way with the artists that we love. Listen, it helps when it comes to the recording industry if you have Grammys. Those artists are in the recording industry, so fuck what you heard. Like, it may not necessarily always get it right. No award show mm-hmm. it ever does. Shout out to the Oversaturated Awards. But I hate that we had this conversation, oh, well, they don't do it for the culture. They never have. So they're still trying to get it. But the fact that, you know, Cardi won, do I think she had the better album in the group? No. But am I happy for her? Yes.
Yeah.
Like, let's not discount this woman for the hard work that she's put in.
Right. And I think we differ in that. From that specific category, I was about to say Pacific. From that specific category.
Go show your country.
No, man, don't do that. Don't do that. It was Cardi. It was Mac Miller. I still haven't listened to his album, mm-hmm. but it was Cardi, Mac Miller, Nipsey.
J-Rock. I think J-Rock was in
it. I don't think J-Rock was nominated for that album. But, Pusha T was nominated.
Yeah.
Damn, I think it was one more.
It was one more, but it was a tight category.
Yeah.
It was
and, really like, the category. Whole category was, dope. Yeah. Like, okay, this is a great category. Everybody that was nominated should have been nominated.
Yeah, and I'm, like, this is the thing. This is just a personal preference when it gets to this. Like, you would probably prefer Cardi's album over those in that category, right?
Right, because, to me, mm-hmm. Cardi had the best album as far as replay value.
Okay.
It was the most enjoyable out of all the albums to me that were nominated.
But just as a pure, I guess what you say is a pure hip-hop album, or is more like more mainstream, a little pop, a little something in there, stuff like that? But I get your replay thing. Like, I'm not discounting the album.
Honestly, for a woman rap artist, mm-hmm. like, I think it was a hip-hop album.
Okay.
Like, she rapped on every song. Now, of course, she had features where the hook was sung by, you know, whoever.
Yeah.
But she was rapping the whole album. Mm-hmm. So.
But that's just a personal preference to me. Like, I've never said I dislike Cardi's album, but those are just other albums that I like. I don't like Mac album over Cardi. But The only album I, you know, I just have a thing for Nipsey Hussle. That was an album. So that's pretty much it.
I know.
But, you know, if you said Daytona was playing, I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll probably listen to Cardi's album first.
Yeah, I agree. Even though Daytona was only seven songs.
Yeah, Daytona's a great album, but it's just seven songs.
Yeah.
And, you know, Cardi talk, I guess you would talk about more like real life shit. I don't, you know, I pitch coke sometimes. I used to, but I don't really.
All right. Okay. So again, shout out to Cardi, the first woman. The first woman to ever win the best rap album category.
You realize I've been a crip this year, right? Johnny don't believe me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Right, man, see.
Straight crippin' all the time, man.
Who are you?
I know. I'm changing right before your eyes. Y'all don't know me no more.
Obviously. Obviously. So a little backstory, because clearly they know each other. They went to elementary school together,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I've known Cormie since what, second grade?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cam Jackson.
Yeah.
And it's so much of a small world, I happened to start attending Cormie's meditation classes. So
right.
It's just small world, man. Small world. So last thing on the Grammys, right? The Motown tribute. Jennifer Lopez. Jennifer Lopez sang a medley of Motown hits. I'm not gonna front. Wasn't really that bad.
It wasn't that bad.
Like,
well, you know, I'll never hear from Jennifer Block anyway.
I know, man. Now, granted, now when they first announced this shit, I was like, oh, they lost their mind. Mm-hmm. Jennifer Lopez has no soul in her voice at all.
At all.
Zero soul. And I can't remember the exact songs that she did, but the songs that she did, she performed them okay. Like, she performed well. I don't know why she always got...
Okay, this is a Motown tribute. And aren't they doing, like, a 60-year celebration?
They act like the same Motown songs ain't alive. Like, why you can't let them do it?
Oh, I agree with you. I agree.
But can we talk about why did Smokey have, like, 3 seconds? And, you know, like, this is really a tribute, and you and Barry, y'all kind of built this from the ground up, and you only get 3 seconds on stage.
Man, and they show Berry Gordy's face during while. Oh, my God. I'm surprised that's not a meme, because that was crazy. That was nuts.
Goddamn Jenny from the block.
Why does Jennifer Lopez always have to add, like, a salsa element? Like, don't do that shit on Motown.
She don't know what she want to do. Yeah.
She don't.
She don't.
Damn, I was really trying to, like, say, oh, it was straight, but nah.
I'm just not here for anything Jennifer Lopez does.
Yeah,
man. Acknowledge King and Ivory. Then we can talk.
Wait, say it again?
Acknowledge King and Ivory wins. Then we can talk.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, yeah. Yeah, clearly.
Because she be hating. Your ass will still be out there two-stepping in the Bronx if your ass didn't hook up with Living Color. Fuck you talking about. Okay.
Talk about it. Damn it, we need an air horn. Or gunshots or something. Damn. Oh, shit. Well, all right, last thing about the Grammys, right? So, Childish Gambino. I think, if I'm not mistaken, he was nominated for 4 categories. He won all 4 of them for This Is America. The one that I know for sure he won was Best Music Video. I don't know who else was nominated, but whoever else was nominated was supposed to lose to that video. Have you seen the video, Carmen?
I have.
Yeah. What did you think about that video?
It was interesting.
Yeah. Just leave it there.
No detail. Yeah, like and I think he won Best Record, if I'm not mistaken. Let me look this. Okay, so he won Best Song, Best Music Video, Best Record, and Best Rap Song Performance.
So he won 3.
4.
4. Oh, shit.
Best Record and Best Song, 2 different categories.
Okay. Mm. Okay. I like this.
Those are the only 4 he was nominated for. He won all 4 of them.
That's
but, I agree. Like, the song This Is America, like, I think it dropped, the song and the video dropped the same day.
Time.
So, the video overtook the actual song and all that. But, actually listening to the song itself, I think it's a great song. It's mixed well. Yeah. Like, it's an amazing song.
Yeah, I mean, it showcases his ability to sing and rap. Like, we discussed that before when the song and the video dropped. I just think that the imagery in the video was so powerful that people just, you know, gravitated towards it, too, from it. It discussed, you know, it spawned conversations and all that other stuff, so.
Right. So, shout out to Childish Gambino, man. I just had to throw that out there.
Salute to Donald Glover, man. Like, I always talk about his government.
Because I think he's going to get rid of the Childish Gambino moniker.
You think so?
I thought I heard him say that in the interview or something.
I don't believe it.
Yeah, you know where he got that from? You know where he got it from? A Wu-Tang name generator. Like, real shit. Like, no lie.
That's crazy.
That is dope.
Like, you can go, like, Google that shit and...
Put your name in.
Yeah, and it'll generate it for you. That's where he got it from. That's dope.
That is dope.
Now so, I'm curious.
Right now you want to do it?
What's my name, right?
We should do that. We're going to do that next episode. Just because.
Right, that's exactly. Funny. But now let's segue into another topic. The 2020 presidential elections are gearing up, and the Democrats have plenty of viable candidates that are up for that are trying to go up for nomination. You can look at former Vice President Joe Biden, Senator Bernie Sanders, even some newcomers, Senator Cory Booker from New Jersey, and as well as Senator Kamala Harris from California. Mm-hmm. We just kind of want to get into definitely Kamala Harris's rise and where she's at and what she's getting, what she's trying to accomplish. I'm just merely going off of what I've seen on social media, and I've done my research when it has come to her. She's had a somewhat checkered past because she used to be the Attorney General in California. I lost my train of thought for a while.
It's all good.
She served two terms, but underneath that, and then before then, she served in the California legislature as far as just dealing with the black and brown people and the mass incarceration rates and things like that. So her name is attached to a lot of that, the three-strike rule. Mm. So a lot of people are not for her being a presidential nominee, even though she's black. And I just wanted to, you know, open the floor for maybe a discussion. I'm not sure if it's a woman thing or it's a black thing or, you know, people ain't, you know, really feeling her like that. Like, because people ain't feeling Cory Booker either.
And see, I definitely don't know.
And he's black. I, you know, I just want to throw that out there.
Yeah. Like, I don't know anything about Cory Booker.
Okay.
I know, like, a very small amount about Kamala Harris.
Okay.
I did know about the whole three-strike thing. Mm-hmm. She, during her time as the attorney general, if I'm not mistaken, she was responsible for putting a lot of black men in prison.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I know about her now.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying she can't, or I'm not saying she's the same person she was then.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying she can't grow from that.
Yeah.
I don't know too much about the rest of her politics, what her platform and all that kind of shit. Like, yeah. I don't know about all that.
Yeah.
I personally, because we definitely need a... like somebody different in the presidential office.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not a political person. I really don't care. But I'm going to be a little more invested in this presidential run.
Yeah.
Only because, first of all, we definitely need to get Trump out. We know that.
Yeah.
But I also want to put somebody in there that's actually...
competent.
Yeah, like...
Yeah. And not vote because, like, oh, they not Trump. Like, of course, right?
Right,
yeah. You're not going to vote for... Well... You wouldn't vote for Trump, but you want to make sure that your vote does count with this Democrat, you know, because
right.
there's no other viable candidate, like, you know, other viable party that will put up a candidate that will actually win outside of the Democratic Party.
Right. Exactly.
We know this. So either you vote and you pay attention to these primaries, or I'm not advocating that you don't vote. Just be a little bit more aware.
Yeah.
I think right now it's very, very critical to pay attention, you know, because... Yeah. Instead of you voting for someone who's popular, who everyone likes, you know, vote for that person and have your reasons as to why whatever they're going for would be beneficial for you and your family and your lifestyle. And instead of being told, you know, teach yourself.
Yeah.
Follow these candidates from the start to the finish and see what they're implementing, what they believe, and what have they implemented before they even got to the primary. Because I feel that will show you exactly their drive, and it'll show you their ambition and what they're actually capable of doing.
Yeah, and considering what she's done as the attorney general and a prosecutor before, she has supported Medicare reform. She supported legalization of recreational marijuana in the state of California, sanctuary cities, and other things that, you know, definitely enhance people or help people. So. There are other things. There are positives to this thing. But I would hate to say vote for somebody because they're black.
Right. Yeah.
Because, like, despite, you know, Kamala Harris's, you know, past, she's a Howard graduate. She's a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha sorority. She's, you know, she's definitely from, you know, where we're from. Like, she's born and raised in Oakland, so there's no rich part in Oakland.
And this is just me, I guess, being a troll, because this is how my mind works. Like, all that, you know, graduated from Howard and all that shit, like, it doesn't matter because she's married to a white man.
Petty.
I feel the same way about Serena, and I love Serena, yeah. But...
Because, like, how pro-black can you be when you have a white spouse?
It's a thought.
Well, that's just a thought.
I'm not saying you can't be.
Yeah.
Pro black and be married, because clearly, shit. Donald Glover, same situation. Like, I'm not saying you can't be. I just, you know, for the troll. Aspect.
Just a troll. you know, and even with Cory Booker, people like not really rocking with him either. And he black too. Young black guy. From Newark, New Jersey.
I was about to say, what state? Because I don't even...
Young, charismatic, you know, senator. You know, people like to compare him to Obama when he speaks. That's the only thing. But he had a recent Breakfast Club interview, and the first thing Charlamagne asked him was, you know, do you have an agenda for black people? And you know he did the two-step around the question.
Of course.
But I hate when black politicians are asked that question.
Me too.
I really do. Like, I don't think that's fair. Like, you expect white people to vote for you, in theory saying, oh, I'm only going to do this for black people. That don't really work, beloved.
Yeah.
Like, but that's the, now this is kind of spinning off into integrity versus something else. Because remember, have you guys seen the clip with Steve Harvey and Monique?
I keep seeing it. I haven't watched it, but.
It's like integrity versus the money, right?
Okay.
Like. If you're going to go on integrity and you're black, it's a little bit rougher when you're trying to get into these white spaces. That's what the argument is.
Mm-hmm.
But if you just want to do and, you know, kind of go about it a certain way, you can still get into these rooms, but you just got to play by the rules.
I mean, that in most aspects, I feel like that's the case. Like, I'm not saying all, but I think there are some... black individuals who have taken money over integrity to get to the certain positions that they're in.
Yeah.
I need to go back and watch that. Cause...
Yeah, well, the argument was, you know, he was kind of shunning Monique about the decisions that she's made as far as, like, you know, the blackballing in situations in mm-hmm. Hollywood. I agree, but I don't agree. Because he was pretty much saying, you got to do what you got to do. Steve, you're a millionaire.
About to say, not...
And the thing is, I would like to believe that he supports Monique behind the scenes, but that interview made it seem like he was trying to tell Monique, this is what you should have done. When you all basically are peers. You all came up in this thing together. They were both stand-ups at the same time.
Right.
The king and queens of comedy, respectively. So
agreed.
You cannot sit here and say that after all the things that you achieve, that I should, you know, dumb down myself. Because maybe that's what you did.
And let's be honest, like, how did Steve Harvey even get to the position he's in now?
I have no idea. Because I never...
Who made him the relationship...
I never foresaw that.
Me either. Who made him the relationship guru?
But also, you know, they went down different paths. Like, you was in the Steve Harvey show. The characters that she played and portrayed, you know, you had a little bit more respect, you know, as a teacher. And then Monique, all of the characters that she kind of played and portrayed was... a little different.
Yeah.
So when you go down that path, people already perceive you differently, and somewhere in between, he had a little bit more focus on him and what he has done,
as
opposed to giving her more credit than what she probably deserved.
Yeah, because, I mean, he definitely put himself in those situations, and then, like, being associated with the kings of comedy, you saw what Bernie Mac was doing. You saw what Cedric was doing. You saw even what DL was doing. So all those guys had a level of markability.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they played certain roles. They played fathers on TV. They played this on TV. They played uncles. Like, those type of things. I don't know if Monique ever really got that outside of the Parkers, and then even on the Parkers, it wasn't that polished.
Right.
In my opinion. In my opinion.
Yeah, she played a person who was.
She pretty much was
chasing a man, basically. A man that didn't want her.
She was she was a single mother and raising her daughter. I forgot where exactly they were, that's how I remember the show.
Right.
Yeah.
Their comedy styles was completely different.
Right.
Exactly. Monique was always way more brash. Mm-hmm. Way more brash.
And I guess because maybe she was a woman, people, like, if a man had the same type of, like, stand-up routine that she had, like, it wouldn't be taken as...
Even, you know, now we kind of spin into something else. It's just, even with men, they're allowed, even if black men, we're allowed to do certain things that black women aren't.
Yeah. Yeah. Yo,
because I mean, let's compare Bernie's stand-up from Kings County, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even though the most famous bit was probably the part about the children, his niece and nephew. He talked about sex. He talked about a lot of stuff. He talked about drug use.
Yeah.
But Monique can do the similar type of stand-up, and it's a woman, so it's like, yeah. You know, like, it's kind of, in theory, like, I'm just saying this thing. Like, it was kind of like, oh, she's talking about sex.
And it's, is it only like that because she's a black woman woman?
I don't know. Like, yeah, I can't get into all that, but it's just... I felt like that's what the consensus. I could be wrong, and I know we'll probably get tweets about this, which I had
Course.
Let's open up that dialogue.
Again, I haven't seen the clip, but it sounds like, just from this discussion, it sounds like Steve was wrong in this.
Yeah, like, his approach was wrong. Like, imagine Carmen's trying to tell us about her experiences, right? And we're sitting here telling her that she's wrong.
Yeah.
Right.
And trying to shut her down before she can get her point out.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
That looks bad.
Yes.
Damn, that's unfortunate.
It is.
And he, oh my God.
Like, yeah, and you know Monique.
Well,
the restraint that it took. Like, you can see it on her face. She's like.
And that's why they about to take his show away for Kelly Clarkson. So.
That's trash, too. But
it is trash, but.
I'm like, white mediocrity.
Literally, and she's not, like, how do you transition from being a singer to being a talk show host that's getting bumped for somebody
in Steve's name.
She was on The Voice. Give her credit. She was a judge. She did some stuff.
But at least Steve Harvey.
That was still like in her realm though. That was still music.
At least with Steve Harvey, he's been an orator for 20, 30, 40 years, right? You know, he was a stand-up for 20 years, right? Before he even got the show.
Oh, yeah.
So that is natural to him. And then he just matured his content more to become more marketable.
Yeah.
So, I don't know about Kelly Clarkson, but hey, you know, Steve, 60 years old, he's a millionaire. Probably about damn near billionaire. I don't know. Yeah, all right.
Yeah. That was a hell of a tangent.
Yeah.
But yeah. All right, we're gonna get to a break, and then we'll be back with our discussion with the meditation group.
Hey, you guys, it's me, Cliche, from The Girl Knows Curls.
And this is Samantha, the lifestyle creator of The Real Girlfriend Experience.
And we are...
Dualistic.
Girl, I need you to relax. Relax, Samantha.
Hey, you know, I gotta do extra. You know I always do that. However... Tune in to Samantha and Cliche on Dualistic Podcast every Wednesday at 8 a.m. on UrbanMogulLife.com for the latest episode, and make sure you follow us on Twitter at Dualistic.
And as always,
we are
Gemini's Foot.
Bye!
Bye, you guys!
And we're back. So, again, like we mentioned earlier, we have Carmen Reed with us, who provides meditation services, and we just want to talk about how she got into it and get into a little bit of my journey in meditation as well. So, Carmen, I guess the first generic question, how did you get into meditation?
I actually started meditation 10 years ago. I was in college, and I had anxiety really, really bad. Mm-hmm. And... I just needed to find something to kind of calm me down. Because I got to the point where I can talk to you, but it's still not going to help me. And I needed to find a way where I can help myself and heal myself.
Right.
So with anxiety and depression, I started meditating before I even kind of knew what it was. And then did more research on it. And it was just another world that I entered into and I never looked back.
Wow.
So it's like you did your research and everything. Now, is this something like you have to like formally take up, or is this like you know, do you have to get certified for it, or?
No, anyone can meditate. I'm okay. Certified.
Okay. I figured you would. But I just wanted to, you know, for people that may be interested.
I'm certified because it's so many different things with meditation. It heals. And it helps for so many different reasons. Mm-hmm. And when I started and I saw what it did for me, I'm like, okay, well, let me dig deeper into this. And I wanted to teach others because I saw what it did for me. It got me through, you know, my father's death. It got me through my grandfather's death recently. It got me through depression. It got me through anxiety. It got me through some of, like, the hardest times in my life. It got me through pregnancy and labor, you know. I didn't have any pain meds. I meditated through my labor. So because it's got me through so much in life, I got certified because I wanted to teach others, especially in our community. We suffer so much. We go through so much stress and depression, and we feel like it's no outlet.
Right.
And sometimes you don't need to talk to someone. You just got to dig deep into yourself and heal yourself.
Right.
Right.
So for the average person, I know the average person probably thinks meditation is sitting, breathing, and saying om. If you could give meditation a definition, I guess, what's your definition of meditation?
Self-discovery.
Short and simple.
Short and simple. Because when you're meditating, you're going inward. You know, you are focusing on the breath. But it's like whatever it is that you're going through, you have a way where you can tap into yourself internally and kind of peel back layers and unwind a lot of knots so you can figure out, why am I hurting? Why am I going through this pain? Why am I really upset? You know, and once we are able to take more accountability for how we feel and figure out where it comes from, then we can have power over the situation and not allow that emotion to overcome us in our life.
Yeah. You mentioned being, or I guess having anxiety before. That's something that I have dealt with, like, for a long time, probably my whole life, not knowing what it was until I started going to therapy as well. And I guess me acknowledging that, it's like, okay, I see that I have an issue. Talking about it made me realize where it comes from. And meditation has helped me deal with it. So when I get in certain situations and I feel like I'm just stressed out and I'm getting real anxious, you know, I try to sit there from the things that you've taught me. Try to sit there, literally don't think about anything but the breath, like inhale, exhale. And after a few minutes, it's like, okay, I can go back and tackle whatever it was, you know, that was going on, you know?
You just brought up that point, because in therapy, it's something that you can just let out. You vent, you know? But a lot of times when you're venting, are you really doing anything? You know, you're just getting it off your chest.
Yeah, it's...
And I'm not discrediting therapy.
Right, yeah, yeah.
But to add that into meditation, like, okay, well, I've acknowledged what the problem is outwardly. Now let me kind of go deeper.
Yep, and that's exactly what's been great for me. Is like you said, therapy has allowed me to identify what has happened to make me feel the way that I feel. So now that I know what's happening, let me meditate to focus on it and try to correct it, if that makes sense. Yeah.
And then going into anxiety, like when it comes to the breath, when you're meditating, the breath is the only thing that connects the mind and the body. Without the breath, the two cannot operate together, you know? And just by focusing on the breath and, like, taking your mind off of anything else, it really calms you down. Because if you can't control it, why stress over it?
True.
And that's been one of my issues.
Yeah.
Like, for real.
But, Carmen, you are a scientist by trade. Do you ever find that this kind of maybe conflicts with you being a meditation guru or anything like that?
Good question. Oh, no. Okay. I don't. Because even throughout, like, I'm very spiritual.
Okay.
And a lot of scientists are atheists, and I believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But so when it comes to meditation, it's one of those moments where when I pray, I feel that's when I'm praying to God, that's mm-hmm. when he hears me.
Okay.
And when I'm meditating, that's when I hear him. And it just allows me to think more clear. Because even at work, I can run an experiment. And when you're dealing with other scientists, you're dealing with a lot of different people, mm-hmm. you know. So you do have so many different personalities. And sometimes I just got to take a step back and breathe. And not allow other people and personalities to take control.
Right.
But earlier in the episode, you did mention that you are a mother.
Mm-hmm.
You have a one-year-old daughter.
Yes.
Well, let me first ask, how's motherhood? And then is that something that you would like to maybe pass on to your daughter, being, you know, investing in meditation, even if she's not maybe necessarily a guru like yourself?
Oh, yes, definitely. I mean, because meditation, it has helped me to become a better mother, a better partner, a better friend.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, as a mom, it allows me to be a lot more patient.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then with her right now, we just kind of breathe. She's a toddler, so she's
right.
She throw her tantrums. And I can just snap my finger and I'm like, okay, it's time to breathe. And then we just breathe. So it has really been beneficial.
That's awesome. So I'm going to keep saying this. So for the average person, right? Because I don't want to, I guess, maybe scare people off or shy away from what meditation really is. So for the average person that may be interested in doing meditation, but are scared to, like, actually mm-hmm. go forth with it, like, what advice would you have for them?
It's nothing to be scared of. I mean, a lot of times when you are meditating, you're more vulnerable. And meditation is not guru. I mean, I'm sorry, it's not voodoo. It's not at all. But it's as simple as just sitting and breathing, you know, just relaxing the mind, calming the body, and being at one with yourself. We can get so lost in our day-to-day activities between work and home that we really don't have time to ourselves. And even if it's just 5 minutes where you're able to just silence everything, you don't need a lot.
Yeah.
You just need to allot yourself time. You know, you don't have to be a pro. You can even come to one of my classes and never have meditated before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it's for everybody.
And I think it's interesting, like, I see a lot of people say or ask the question, like, have any of you all ever just sat in your car before going in the house after a long day of work? Like, even that is some form of meditation, mm-hmm. right? Like, I feel, because me personally, like, as a kid, I always like to sit alone and just sit and just, like, think. And And going through meditation with you, I feel like that's what I was doing as a kid, not really knowing what it was I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like a lot of people actually do some form of meditation, not knowing
right.
what it actually is.
Right. And that's true. But then there's a lot of people who they would download an app
mm-hmm.
and they'll say, well, I think I'm doing it right. You know,
it's an app.
Yeah, it's a lot of meditation apps, a lot of guided meditation. Because here's the thing, there are over 23 different techniques when it comes to meditation.
Okay.
So let's get that clear. And you have guided, you have Zen, you have TM.
So
like, no matter what it is that you're going through, there is a technique that you can use.
Mm-hmm.
So being able to come to someone like myself to help guide you and say, hey, this might be the technique for you. For this, you know, this might work for you. And then even if you just want to go into isolation with no music, no distraction, no nothing, and just take 5 minutes and close your eyes and just focus on the breath, you would be surprised on just how much it'll help. And then it's so many health benefits. It helps with weight loss. It helps with anxiety and depression. It helps with blood pressure, you know, especially in our community. Like, yeah. We really need it. And when you have power over yourself, when you have power over your emotions and what you're going through, a lot of stuff in life don't even faze you. It's a lot of things that I could be really upset with, but why? Mm-hmm. Why?
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Now, by you being, you know, the meditation guru, I can imagine, you know, me being a novice, that you deal with a lot of bad vibes, a lot of bad energy, yes, from the other people that you provide meditation for. How do you recharge? Because I can imagine that's a lot on you.
I always stay very positive. I'm very grateful for a lot of things. And not just from, you know, that's just everything. Like,
yeah,
when you go home, when you go to work, mm-hmm, it's just negative energy.
Yeah.
So for me, when I feel, because energy, it cannot be destroyed. You know, you can transfer it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's very easy for me to just be in a conversation with someone having a bad day. And, you know, I can feel that weight. And before I feel that weight, I always have to change the conversation for it to be more positive. Like, you can ask, like, any of all of my friends, I'm that one to put it into perspective. Mm-hmm. So if I feel that the negative energy that you have is kind of weighing down, then that's where I kind of switch gears a little bit so it doesn't affect me.
Yeah.
Because I stay positive all the time. I have to.
Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine. I just would think that, you know, somebody coming in with a lot of, you know, anxiety or bad vibes or bad energy, mm-hmm, and that can damn near pollute the room like it would in any other scenario. But since we're talking about, you know, meditation and spirits and things of that nature, I would think that it's just like a lot. Like,
yes. Okay. And I mean, and when you enter the room, when you come to class, mm-hmm, it's even when you enter, you just feel a light, like a weight lifted off your shoulders. You can ask.
That's true. That's very true.
You know, I sage the room a lot, but I deal with a lot of herbs. I deal with a lot of incense. And before my students come in, I always do a prayer just to lighten up the space. So it helps out.
You have a burn cushion in there?
No.
Oh, my God.
I'm only doing this because he's calling.
I know, it's hilarious, but I love it.
But back to how the room is set up. You know, you have a lot of decor, I would say. I don't know how to properly, mm-hmm, say, you know, it's a lot of things to make the room.
No, see,
calming.
I'm really happy you brought that up, because okay, that's what a lot of people think. A lot of people think you have to, like, have, you know, salt lamps and crystals and
that's what I wanted to know.
And you don't have to. I have it because I've been doing it for so long.
Mm-hmm.
But even when you come to the studio, it's just a floor,
okay,
and walls.
Okay.
You, yeah, know,
grab a mat
and, okay, a pillow if you want, and you're fine. You don't need a light.
This is my ignorance. Like, I would assume that it's like mats, like it's dim lit, dim lights.
Oh, it is.
Oh, okay. And then it's like, you know, like a little Buddha sitting, you know, like this, Indian style or something?
It is, but...
Okay, see, so like...
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to think. Is it? It is.
Like a little thing, like, you know...
Yeah.
Okay. But that's just me. Like,
that's for the more advanced.
Right. Like... You don't need to meditate.
Okay. Yeah, like, you could meditate. Like, you can meditate at home, like, at the crib. Like,
gotcha.
Get in a comfortable position, sit, lay down.
Yeah.
You know, sit in silence if you want, or put on like some type of, I don't know what it's called. I just say meditation music.
Mm-hmm.
Just throw that on and, yeah.
Okay, now I joke a lot when I say chakras are being aligned. Now, mm-hmm, what does that mean? Like, I know I say it a lot, but I really don't know what that should mean.
And so there are 7 chakras. And what it is, it's basically energy centers.
Okay.
In the body. And these 7 energy centers are aligned in your spine, or, you know, goes down the spine, and it's connected to your endocrine system. So that's why a lot of times when you meditate, you feel your body get really light as a feather, or heavy as if you're about to go to sleep, because you're activating those energies. And every single chakra, it helps with something. So whether it's the root chakra dealing with your foundation, your sacral chakra with, you know, your sexuality,
mm-hmm,
your solar plexus with your, like, your emotions, and then going up to the heart chakra, like your, how you love and who you love. Throat chakra is, you know, speaking your truth, knowing that you have a voice and you can speak it. Just, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. And my favorite, your third eye, is your intuition. activating that and going, you know, with what you see, not just with your eyes, but that intuition, that other gut feeling that you get. And the last chakra is your crown chakra, the center of all understanding. And so when we say becoming more balanced and becoming more centered, it's just really having all of those balance, because you can overspend and you can underspend. Remember, you can't destroy it. Mm-hmm. And when you overspend and underspend, that's how you deal with a lot of other things. You know, like if you're overspending one energy center, it's like, man, I'm really insecure today, or I'm really depressed today. Like, I need to balance out. But you can underspend something and your ego can be through the roof. So every single day is about kind of checking yourself.
Dope. So again, back to the average person, right? Mm-hmm. If the average person comes in and says, Corman, oversaturated, referred us, I would like to begin meditation. What's the first form of meditation you would do with this person? It's just you and this person. What's the first form that you would do?
The first form would definitely be, I would combine breath meditation in with guided meditation. Mm-hmm. Guided meditation is the best that I will always recommend, because it gives you an opportunity to step aside from the day-to-day stresses and for you to visualize yourself in a place where you're able to relax and think more clearly. Mm-hmm. So that's the best way. That's the best approach that I always recommend.
Yeah, because when I first went, I think we did a guided the first time. And, it's so interesting. I always tell her, man, Corman has a gift, because she is the meditation leader. Mm-hmm. She's able to tap into something and understand what's going on with me, even things that I haven't even mentioned or told anyone else. It's like, She'll get something and say, well, maybe you need to try this, or you should do this, or look into something else. It's like, damn, like, how do you know? Like, it's nuts. Like, how do you know?
It's crazy. I think after the end of class, I do intuitive readings. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we'll do a guided meditation or whatever we might do that night. I try to do a different technique every single time. And I just connect into your energy field, and I can kind of tell you what's going on or what you saw. More so premonitions.
Okay.
So every single time I'm spot on, and it's so, to this day, you know, it's crazy, because that feeling, like, wow, because every single time I am spot on.
And it's helpful. Like, it's not me just going to just to go. It's like, I'm really trying to be better or get help on things that I have issues with, and things that therapy can't help with alone, that I feel like. So I 100% appreciate it. And you mentioned earlier about people coming in with, like, I guess, bad energy, or like having, I guess, dumping things on her, like. Yeah. It's been times where...
Yeah, he's been one of those people.
Like,
damn.
Like, it's so much shit that I'm going through. Stuff that I don't even really pay attention to, or try not to pay attention to, that I try to suppress.
Yeah.
Fam, she pick up all this shit. Like, it's crazy. Yeah. But I appreciate it, because it helps me bring it to the forefront, to a point where I don't want to suppress it anymore, and I want to be better.
Yeah.
So it's been so helpful. Like, yeah. I don't know. I'm thankful.
It has been.
But now that's why she's the guru.
Right.
And I really appreciate. I get, like, so many students, whether they come to the class or they listen to, you know, my app and do guided meditations. It just helps so many people, as far as with, like, hey, Carmen, you know, it helped me through depression. It helped me, you know, through my marriage. It helped me through, like, anxiety. And it's just to see that, that is so purposeful for me. That means everything to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dope, man.
Yeah, we are running low on time right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
we got
to listen. If we get a lot of questions, we definitely want to have you back, Carmen. We definitely want to have you back. Yeah. But before we go, you mentioned the app, which I was actually going to get to. Can you let the people know the name of the app and the name of... Because it's basically a meditation podcast that she has. Okay. So if you can name that and then give the name. Media. Yeah, all that good stuff. If people have questions.
So if you are interested in guided meditation, you can download CastBox for free and subscribe to Self-Healing Meditation Channel. And there are several meditation videos on there to help you with your journey. And I put new ones up every week. Or you can visit me on Tuesdays and Fridays from 5:30 to 6:30 at Pure Vegan Meditation and Yoga Center.
Yep, that's here in St. Louis.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out to our local listeners. We love y'all.
Yeah, man. So, yeah. Cormen, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
I hope you enjoyed this.
I did. This was fun.
And also, do you have like an Instagram that you can plug? I'm not sure if you want people on Facebook.
Oh, yes.
Like
Instagram, I am love, light, and peace.
Yeah, we would definitely tag that on Instagram. We need to get you on Twitter, too.
I'm not on Twitter.
I know. That's why we need to get you one. Trust me. It's a world on Twitter that is virtually untapped for you.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah.
Just know that no matter what it is you're going through, there's always self-healing and self-discovery just through meditation.
That's a fact. Yeah. Because I'm learning that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man. Again, thank you, Cormen. Raf, you got anything else?
Oh, no, man. We good.
All right, man. That's episode 49.
We out.
We out. Peace. Cheers.